But when you're the Ravens, now, because the NFL is not forcing you into the short week from Wednesday to Sunday, like they should, instead of constantly accommodating your violating asses, now the Ravens have more time for players to clear COVID protocol and time to be available for the Cowboys. That includes reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson.
Your owner, Jerry Jones, had your team's owner, Jerry Jones, had the unmitigated gall to say that the Broncos situation starting a practice squad rookie wide receiver at quarterback was basically the same exact thing that the Cowboys had to do when they played Ben DiNucci following Andy Dalton's concussion.
I just think that if you're going to commit, well, now you have no choice because Zach Martin's down, and you know, it's exasperating, KD. It's exasperating to hear coaches, and one coach in particular, Hyde McCarthy, label the move to Zach Martin at right tackle as quote unquote fantasy football. So
and then it worked beautifully.
And then it works beautifully. And you could have done this a long time ago.
All right, all right, all right. You are now rocking with the best, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for tuning in to another exciting, exhilarating episode of the Catch This Fade podcast. I am, of course, your host, KD Drummond. That is my man, Patrick No C. Walker. Say what's up to the people, Pat.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back for another episode. We're going to get into throwing fades that need to be caught. I mean, there was a lot of ugly left on the field on Thanksgiving against the Washington football team. But I am back in the building after traveling for the holiday week / weekend, however you want to slice it, in a very COVID-friendly manner, I should say, especially with myself having recently gotten out of that battle with COVID. So didn't want to go back into another battle with it, and also didn't want to potentially put family members at risk either. So it was all well and good. Had a lot of fun not watching the Cowboys game. Unfortunately, they didn't give us any fun to enjoy. But nonetheless, the Thanksgiving holiday was still very, very much full of thanks, especially being that it came on the news of what happened with Cowboys strength and conditioning coach Marcus Paul, who, as you may or may not know at this point, was taken to a local hospital due to a medical emergency that is yet undisclosed. And I have spoken with sources and when it actually occurred. So there is there is an idea of what took place, but the official determination for cause of death has yet to be released. So we're going to be very respectful of the Paul family and the Cowboys as an organization and let that news come out organically. But Marcus Paul, after fighting for a couple of days in the hospital after that medical emergency, he unfortunately passed away. So it is with a heavy heart that we enter this episode of Catch This Fade, but we're going to get through it, and we're going to talk about the Cowboys and also if that impacted what we saw on the field on Thanksgiving and if it will impact what we see when they play the Ravens, whenever they play the Ravens.
Yeah, that was one of the things that I spoke about at length on a couple of appearances that I made before, because when he fell ill, you know, I had a radio spot that night, and then I had a podcast, a separate podcast from this, and I talked about the fact that you don't know how a team is going to respond when you have a tragedy at any level. A tragedy, if you lose somebody in your family, can affect how you perform at your job. I think all of us who've lost somebody at one level or another have had to report to work and not had their head in the game. So imagine that happening with somebody that you're very close to, that you work with, and they're no longer there. And then imagine that tenfold, there were people in the building that actually saw it happen. Like, having somebody fall ill and eventually pass away from what you saw, I don't think we can put into words the possibilities. Now, everybody doesn't react the same way, but the possibility that it could have affected somebody, and you would imagine would affect people strongly, and the people that you're mourning with, your coworkers who know that person in the same capacity as you, all shared in that experience. the Cowboys had to cancel practice on Tuesday, and you know their heads weren't in the game when they returned to practice on Wednesday because they still didn't have positive news off of that outcome. And then Marcus Paul passed away that evening. And then they had to turn around and play a game on Thanksgiving and be away from their families to go play the football game. I can't imagine the amount of stress that could cause on an individual, on the team as a collective. So them being ill-prepared, to me, everything that happened in that game, I've spoken badly about the preparation of the coaches and certain players and all of that kind of stuff. They get an absolute mulligan from me for the performance on Thursday based on the circumstances that they had to go through. I don't use that game to judge anything previous or forthcoming based on what we know could be the case of what they were going through with the loss of Marcus Paul.
I agree with not utilizing this game against the Washington football team as a means of trying to figure out what the Cowboys are capable of talent-wise, because at this point we're assessing talent. Yes, they're still, you know, viable in the race for the race in the potato the sack
walk.
Race,
right?
The, right. The three-legged race for the NFC East crown. But Katie and myself both agree that even if the Cowboys find a way to squeak past three other bad teams in the division to get a playoff appearance, it's not going to end well. So at this point, we're looking at assessing talent. But I do agree with you in the aspect of this is not necessarily the game you want to use to try to crutch any point, whether it be for or against any particular player, for or against any particular coach, with one exception.
Okay.
Given everything the Cowboys dealt with emotionally and continue to deal with as we have this conversation regarding the loss of Marcus Paul, and like you said, it can go one of two ways. Sometimes it completely galvanizes a team and they end up playing for that individual. And that's what the Cowboys were trying to do.
Right.
But there's an equal chance that you simply are just too emotionally burdened to prioritize a football game, particularly one that's being held on Thanksgiving when you're away from your family, like you said, after seeing what happened with Marcus Paul. It's hard. Hard is an understatement. It's very, very difficult to overcome that emotionally. So I agree. But that said, the Cowboys were still down only 4 points with just over 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter, 4th and 10. What the hell are you doing? Ladies and gentlemen, in case you were under a rock, I am referring to the fake punt. The fake punt heard round the world. I am willing to delete everything else about this game. Everything. Because of everything we're talking about. But that fake punt, no sir. That's going to stay front and center because we need understanding. Now, we've gotten comments from, you know, Jerry Jones after the game. We've got comments from Mike McCarthy after the game and, you know, Fossil. And, of course, everybody's, you know, justifying it as best they can. But even the justifications don't make sense because the goddamn play didn't make sense. You're in the shadow of your own end zone. You're down 4 points, so you're still very much in the game. By calling that fake punt, not only did you give them tremendous field position, and guess what happened on the next play?
Touchdown.
Touchdown, Antonio Gibson. Now it's 27 to 16, okay? Not only did you give them great field position to blow the top off of the game, which is, I mean, that ended up being the turning point. That ended up being the whole turning point to the game. And that the Cowboys emotionally had mustered as much as they could in the wake of losing Paul. And they made the game respectable. The defense had held was holding them to only 20 points going into the fourth quarter. You got to be feeling, all things considered, you got to be feeling good about your chances as a defense to be able to stop Alex Smith. And I'm not saying that they could have necessarily stopped Gibson, but given what was happening in the game, it's not like the you know, Washington had scored 30 points up to that point.
No, yeah, that's
you,
true.
You got to feel good about it. So not only did you give them great field position and the chance, the opportunity, which they took full grasp of to blow the lid off of the game and just run away with it from there, But you sent a message to the defense. And I don't like the message you sent to the defense, John Fossil. I don't know if this is something Mike McCarthy signed off on as far as the play itself. And the reason I say I don't know is because our good friend who writes for the Rams Wire, he put a video out there. I'm talking about Cam, by the way.
Yeah, Cam DeSilva.
Yeah. He put a video out there of a clip between Fossil and McVay. And it was a situation in a particular game when Fossil was special teams coordinator with the Rams that it was a similar situation where the Rams were in the shadow of their own end zone. Fossil tried a fake punt. It obviously blew up in his face. And McVay ran over to him and said, "What was that? What are you doing? What the hell are you doing?" When you see something like that, immediately in my mind, KD, and tell me if I'm wrong, immediately in my mind, I'm wondering if every time Fossil calls a fake, is it pre-approved?
Right.
Has it been pushed up the ladder, so to speak, or is it a situation where he has carte blanche to make these calls? Because at a certain point, you can tell with the Rams he did, and that might have been the breaking point where
that was the breaking point. That was the breaking point. That is exactly what happened. That's the information that I have, and we know Cam is a very good friend of the Cowboys, of Cowboys media, Cowboys Nation, however you want to frame it. And he does a terrific job over on Rams Wire.
But that's
pretty much the impression that I get from people that cover the Rams, that the divorce with Fossil had to do over the fact that he was given autonomy over calling those plays. If he had the personnel within his jurisdiction to be able to call fakes when he thought that they were that it was a good play, and he might have gotten a little bit crazy with it, and eventually McVay was like, "This isn't the direction that we want to go with anymore."
And see, now in that context, are we seeing that, does he have that carte blanche?
Look what they did with the kicking competition. He had carte blanche.
That is further evidence. That is a fantastic point.
You see what I'm saying?
That is further evidence that he might actually have that complete autonomy. And if that's the case, based on that fake punt situation, which basically completely took the Cowboys out of a game that they could have won despite all of the emotional encumbrances from the passing of Paul, that one play needs to be, if in fact it's a situation where McCarthy's looking at Fossil and saying, "You know what? I trust you wholeheartedly. Call what you need to call, and we'll go from there." That needs to be the play that takes that autonomy away, if in fact that's what we're looking at.
Let me walk it back. Because I think that McCarthy is the type of person, in everything that we've seen, including this play and how they explained it after the fact, McCarthy is going to fall on the grenade. Regardless of whether or not it was his final call or not, he's going to fall on the grenade. So we will hear that publicly. I do believe that that's the case, that this was completely on Fossil. He made the call. I am not with everybody, including you, that's completely against the idea of the call in this way. In this specific way, the Cowboys haven't done shit when it comes to calling fake punts so far this year. They've all been abject disasters. I don't think they converted any of the fake punts.
I want to say one, but
I want to say one. But I know they failed on the two early in the year.
Yeah, and you're talking about the Chris Jones noodle arm
and the other one. That was in the same game, right? If I remember
correctly. That was the special teams disaster.
Right.
So, but it was negated by the watermelon kick.
Right, exactly. And that
we tend to forget.
That was the whole point. I was saying that it was going to take probably five positive special teams plays in order to make up for that. Right. And then the watermelon kick fixed all of that because it worked. So this is three times out of four that they failed in their fake punt attempts. That's the reason why I'm upset about this play. You know that you're not good at it. So in that situation, that has to come into play. I've heard arguments, and I understand the thought process of the arguments, is that you're being bold and daring. You know it's a lost season, but you're being bold and daring to make your personnel accustomed to the idea that you're going to be bold and daring moving forward. I can get along with that psychological warfare there. That you're just basically putting them in a position to say, we will risk it all. We will take any chance that we see possible to come out on top And I want everybody on this roster to be accustomed to the fact that we are going to try this. But I also see the flip side of the coin, that when you're in a situation and you're only down by 4 points and your defense is doing okay, they couldn't stop Terry McLaurin, nobody can, and they couldn't stop Antonio Gibson recently, nobody can, but all in all, it was still a positive defensive effort.
It was a bend not break up to that point.
Exactly. And you saw them break. After that play was over,
yeah, it was over.
The team gave up.
It was over.
There's no other way. The team gave up. But when you look at the replay and you see how freaking wide open that guy is running downfield, he had nothing but the state of Oklahoma ahead of him. It wasn't even the rest of Texas. He could have ran to Oklahoma. I don't know which direction they were going, but he could have ran either the Mexico border or the Oklahoma border. He could have made it. He was that wide open. And Cedric Wilson just didn't pass him the ball. They're covering for him when they say that it was a one read play.
Now you got me thinking because AT&T goes east-west. So
Well, then he could have gone to Louisiana.
Arizona,
Louisiana.
I thought he was going to Arizona.
He could have crossed the border. That's the whole point. Man could have crossed the border. But regardless, the problem was that Cedric Wilson did not throw the ball. He was supposed to. He had the option. I don't want to hear the fact that you're talking about he couldn't see him, because if he couldn't see them, then he shouldn't be running that play. I talked about last time that me and you were on the show together, Cedric Wilson is your gadget guy. Right. That's what he is. He's your gadget guy. He's your trick play guy. That's who you're looking for because he has an arm. But if he does not have the capability of seeing 20 yards downfield a wide open receiver, he's not supposed to be the one running that play. So for me, the most egregious part of it is they ran a trick play when they're not good at running trick plays, and with a guy who does not now, we have to kind of say he's not really capable of completing that trick play. That context, the context of calling it, is more so the issue than the play that they drew up, or even so, the timing of when they called it. Because I think in another situation where it didn't go that badly, I don't even have a problem if they were able to stop Washington on the subsequent play. On the subsequent drive, it ended up being subsequent play, but on the subsequent drive, if they were able to muster anything, but they were done. With everything else that had gone on, with them calling the timeout right before the half, that they didn't need to call, them having 14 men, they had 14 men on the field at one point, Pat. Yeah. 14.
Yeah. For just, a play. Just mental errors. And even to McCarthy's credit, he did admit that the timeout should not have been called.
Exactly.
He said he just basically, it was a brain fart. Basically.
So my whole thing is this. The team clearly wasn't on their game. From coaches to players, they were not on their game. Can we really fault them for trying anything to shake themselves up?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
The reason I say yes is you make a bunch of valid points, and none of those points am I going to attempt to undercut. But because what you ultimately did was just gave me more reason to hate the play. That's all you did. You just gave me more reason to hate the play call. Everything you added to the reason that I already hate the play call just simply deepens my hate for the play call. Because, again, this is a team that is already entering the game with exceeding emotional challenges, mm-hmm. right? And even on a normal day, I hate that play call based on that situation. Regardless of if you get the stop on the next drive or not, if you assume you got the stop on the next drive, you still flip field position in their favor
right,
yep. by failing on that play. So no matter how you sliced it, you were going to take an L. The question was it lowercase or was it capital? And it ended up being a capital L because Gibson handed you the capital L and then waved to you on the way to the end zone, right? A la Aaron Jones, okay?
Yeah.
But when you know that your team is and your coaches, right? Because we talk about the timeout by McCarthy that he ended up admitting was a mistake, so forth and right. so on. At this point in the fourth quarter, you see that, hey, this team is just emotionally exhausted. They're doing everything they can to get this win, not just for the team itself, but also for Marcus Paul as well. It's a game that we honored Marcus Paul ahead of kickoff. with the kneel, moment of silence. We have the MP decal on the back of the helmet.
Right.
What you don't do, all things considered, is steal that chance to get that win for Paul. Like, above all, and inclusive of everything else, but above all of everything else that stands out that makes me hate that play, is I truly loathe it because it was the definitive play that kept the Cowboys from winning the game for Paul, which is what they were doing their best to do. So when that failed and Gibson basically broke their back on the next play, they were too emotionally spent to even muster an effort for the rest of the game. And then they soundly got walked off of their own field. Yep. So 99.9% of the game, I'm with you, Mulligan, I'll delete it. But for me, that one play not only cost the Cowboys the win, but also the meaning behind the win. And it makes it more difficult for anyone that's lost someone close to them. And have to return to work. A lot of times you're doing it emotionally, like you're telling yourself emotionally, this person would want me to keep going.
Right.
This person would want me to go be prosperous and conquer for them. This is what this person would want. And to have that stolen from you by one horrible decision on coaching, now it makes it harder after the game, because now you're saying, well, I was away from my loved ones, whom I wanted to be close to, especially after losing Paul and all of this. And for this, for a 41-point ass whooping, that really wasn't until this play. Yeah. That's why for me, and here we are again, John Fossil, the fade.
Gotta catch it.
This is what, number four?
At least.
This is three or four.
At least.
The third or fourth time that we have had to fade John Fossil. And it's wild because the season started off with so much of us, more so you, and then it came to fruition for me as well. Mike Nolan, go ahead and say it.
Mike Nolan!
But here we are with Mike Nolan. We're talking about a defense emotionally struggling. Still holding Washington, no matter, they couldn't stop McLaurin, couldn't stop Gibson, but still only allowed 20 points up to this point in the game in the fourth quarter. So Mike Nolan has been getting a lot of credit and seeing his defense kind of come along and overcome challenges, both physical and mental and emotional, or I should say physical, mental, and emotional in all three facets. And now here we are, John Fossil. It's December 1st now, and he can't escape the fade. He escapes it for like a week at a time. 2 weeks tops, and then he's right back here. So now I'm starting to have questions on one of two things, Katie. Either A, going back to me wondering if McCarthy and the Cowboys are currently giving Fossil the same autonomy and carte blanche that McVay did until McVay was like, hold the hell up, you went too far. And if that's the case, then I'm not saying Fossil needs to go, but there needs to be oversight. There needs to be oversight. And if he's the type of coach that says, you know what, I don't do well with oversight. I've been in this league long enough. Hoopity hoop ha.
Hoopity hoo ha.
Then
Lotto, I don't fit you.
Right.
Don't fit you.
if he's that type of coach, then you show him the door. Yeah. But there has to be an adjustment there, because this is a perfect example of you love the aggressiveness, but it has to be well done, well placed, and this was just poorly placed, poorly timed, especially when you look at what it did to the Cowboys, who were already in an emotional state, and now they lose the game. They were away from their family for an ass-whooping. That didn't have to be. They could have pulled this game out, and it would have helped them in their grieving process moving into the Ravens game, but now it puts them right back at square one trying to figure out, okay, well, let's try to win this one for Marcus Paul. It's exhausting, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, the Cowboys have clearly put themselves in a bad predicament when it comes to their overall record. They're now 3-8. They're in last place in the NFC East, and they're just a game out of first place, which is more of a statement on how pitiful the division is compared to
one
anything
game
else.
Out of the top, but also a top five pick.
Right now, they're number four, depending on how you depending on how you strength of schedule. If you look at strength of schedule based on games that have already been played, they're not number four. But if you, I don't know why you would look at it any other way, as far as the strength of schedule for all 16 teams, all 16 games that are on your schedule, they're now number four behind Cincy. Cincy is half game up. They play Cincy the week after they play Baltimore, whenever this Baltimore game happens.
Whenever it happens.
Whenever it happens. Good job, Ravens. Let's talk about that for a second. Before we end the free show, let's talk about that for a second to make sure that everybody's up to speed on what we're doing.
Okfay Luster Clay.
They have completely screwed the pooch on this one because their original game.
Even worse than the Titans.
Yeah, and look at how bad the Titans were early in the year, and the Ravens have just completely blown that experience out of the water, which is still amazing that the Titans weren't docked any draft picks. They've docked New Orleans.
The Raiders.
And the Raiders.
Right. Draft Raiders picks. Have paid over $1 million in fines. Right. I think they lost
a seventh. They lost a seventh. The Saints lost a sixth.
Oh, yeah, There you go.
The Ravens are going to lose a fourth or a fifth round pick off of this. They have to. All of these changes that they've had to make.
Yeah.
The Ravens were supposed to play the Steelers right after the Cowboys and the Washington football team played. That got canceled. And at the time, the only thing we were hearing was the Pittsburgh Steelers chirping, I can't believe this has happened. That's because remember, the Titans messed up, stole the Steelers bye week. So they basically had to push everything
Which it's crazy because that butterfly effect, it impacted the Ravens.
Exactly. So now they were pushed from what was going to be a Thursday night game to a Sunday night game. They kept having positive tests. The Sunday night game got pushed to a Tuesday game. They kept having positive tests. The Tuesday game got pushed to a Wednesday game. They're still having positive tests, but they're going to go ahead and let them play on Wednesday. So that in turn affects the Cowboys because, as is the new tradition, since they added Thursday night football, when the Cowboys play on Thursday for Thanksgiving, they almost always play the following Thursday night football. Right. So it was supposed to be two teams from Thanksgiving playing the following Thursday night, which would have been the Cowboys and the Ravens. So that got pushed to the side. That was shifted to, I believe, a Monday afternoon, 5 o'clock East Coast time, 4 o'clock Central time. Beautiful. That I was so looking forward to that. But because they had to push back the Ravens, supposedly, according to the NFL, because they had to push back the Ravens and the Steelers, now they have to push back the Cowboys and the Ravens. Why, Sway? The Ravens are the team that fucked up.
Right.
So if you're going to play the Ravens on a Wednesday, fuck them. Make them play on the next Monday.
Exactly.
Why are the Cowboys getting pushed back? Because now the Cowboys are going to play on Tuesday, and they'll have to have a short week because they'll play on Tuesday night as opposed to Monday afternoon. And then they have a noon kickoff game against Cincinnati on the road the following Sunday. So now they have a truncated week. For what? It doesn't make any sense.
And to add insult to injury, when you look at it from the aspect of the Cowboys, once this is all said and done, assuming that this game gets played on Tuesday, okay, the Cowboys will have had one game in 27 days.
Yep.
One game in 27 days. I don't care how well-oiled of a machine you are as an NFL team, that's going to make it difficult to physically get ready and sharpen for that game number two. And that's if you're a well-oiled machine. The Cowboys are not a well-oiled machine, right? They're right now at 3-8, the Cowboys are the equivalent of that when you go, you know, you go into your grandmother's backyard, go into her backyard, you go into your grandfather's shed, and there's like that old Schwinn that's in the back, and it's all rusted through. It has all this potential if you can shine it up, but it's going to take way more than just 5 minutes to get that shine back up. The Cowboys right now are about to enter against the Ravens as that old rusty Schwinn that's just been sitting in the back of the storage shed, and now you're going to pull them back out. And keep in mind, again, we cannot possibly overstate this. They're still emotionally battling the loss of Marcus Paul.
Right.
All of this additional time to sit in it, it does not necessarily help them being able to prepare for the Ravens. Now, and I said this on a radio show earlier this afternoon when I was asked, well, you know, with the Cowboys having so much time between Washington and the Ravens, does it work in favor of the Cowboys? No. Here's why it doesn't. At a certain point, the extended timeline passes the threshold of helping the Cowboys into the area of helping the Ravens. Now, to your point, if the Ravens were forced to play the Cowboys on a short week, then, yeah, advantage Cowboys, all things considered. However, then the Cowboys get pushed back. And now, fast forward, Cowboys are now essentially on a second bye week. And you would think, okay, well, that means they should be rested, et cetera, et cetera. They didn't need rest. They were already coming off of a bye week. But when you're the Ravens, now, because the NFL is not forcing you into the short week from Wednesday to Sunday, like they should, instead of constantly accommodating your violating asses, now the Ravens have more time for players to clear COVID protocol in time to be available for the Cowboys. That includes reigning NFL MVP Lamar Jackson. So we've now passed the threshold from this inconvenience, from this being an inconvenience. Well, let me put it this way. We've crossed the threshold from it being a potential advantage for the Cowboys if the Ravens were going to face them on a short week, to quite the inconvenience, to a Ravens advantage. Yep. How do you, as a league, look at this situation and say, you know what, it's okay to award competitive advantage to a team who's creating competitive disadvantages
for everybody else,
for everyone else, simply by refusal to follow protocol?
Yep.
You drop the hammer on the Las Vegas Raiders. Standing ovation for that. You drop the hammer, so to speak, on the New Orleans Saints. Ovation for that. Why is it when it comes to the Ravens in this particular situation? Hell, you dropped the hammer on the Broncos, and I don't even agree with that hammer drop.
Exactly. That's the point that I was going to make, because everybody else seems to be getting this big, giant penalty. They didn't penalize the Raiders and the Saints in season. They penalized them in the offseason for organizational dysfunction. Even though it was egregious, the issues were what they were doing on the field, they penalized them off the field. They penalized the Broncos on the field. On the field. Because they didn't postpone that game. They basically said, y'all screwed up, deal with it. You ain't got a quarterback? Don't give a fuck.
Oh, wow.
So you're pushing every single thing with the Ravens not being able to play. And it seems to reek of, well, the Ravens are playoff contenders, and we don't want to delegitimize the playoffs, so we're going to have a separate set of rules for a playoff contender than these other teams. The other teams that are affected, it is what it is. Cowboys ain't going to make no noise in the playoffs. Cowboys most likely won't make the playoffs. So if they're inconvenienced by having to play this game on a Tuesday night and then going and flying on a Sunday, so basically they only have 3.5-4 days in between rest, so be it. I'm not tripping. That seems to be the mindset of the league right now, is they're trying to make sure that they keep the playoff picture as pure as possible, and the regular season is just a regular season. So just like when Juan Soto had a false positive, the regular season and the subsequent playoffs does not matter. Immediately, the pursuit to get to the playoffs, did you win, though? Did you win?
We wanted those wings. We had to head back. We had to head back. We had to head back.
Yeah.
We had to head back.
Yeah, I understand.
I'm going to let you get your Soto rage off, though. Because it's a valid point. I'm going to let you get your Soto rage off.
Because when you delegitimize the regular season, what happens in the playoffs is still illegitimate. It still is. No matter what happens, no matter how competitive the playoffs are, the path to get to that field has been delegitimized. So
Go ahead. I was going to say a perfect point to that, to interject before I forget, is the Saints. You just basically gave the Saints a win. Okay. So because the Saints were essentially gifted a win in having to go against Kendall Hinton at quarterback, you look at the Buccaneers, for example. The Buccaneers are chasing the Saints, right? The Buccaneers were up against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, and the team they're chasing atop their division was just gift wrapped a win.
Perfect.
So to your point, you can't gloss over how you're unwilling to accommodate a team like the Broncos because potentially you're saying, well, they're not going to make the playoffs anyway, but they're playing the playoff teams. So even if that was your point, you still screwed up your point if you're the NFL. Because you just gave the Saints a win, and now they have that much more distance on a team like Tampa Bay, who had to play an actual quarterback in Patrick Mahomes.
A whole quarterback.
And kudos to Tom Brady, because he's Tom Brady. And, you know, yeah, he threw those two interceptions, but he kind of came out of it over 300 yards, almost 350, three touchdowns, put him in position to, you know, potentially win the game if he could get the ball back. But Mahomes was like, yeah, hell no. Right. But while Brady and the Bucs were dealing with that, the Saints were up against Hinton, who finished the game with one completion and a passer rate of 0.0. But hey, I guess that's the same as starting Ben DiNucci. So we're going to pull that forward in the rundown. Yeah. I'm pulling that forward.
Okay. I understand. But we're going to handle that and the Jerry Jones slander that's forthcoming.
Y'all gotta pay for that.
We wrap up this free show. If you're listening free, if you're on YouTube, if you're on Audio Boom or iTunes or whatever it is now, Apple Podcasts or Spotify or however it is that you get the free version of this show, we appreciate you, but now it's time for you to subscribe. Go over to patreon.com/catchthisfade. Subscribe on either one of two levels. For $3, you get every single audio that we put out, full audio, both the free shows that we do on Friday, plus the remainder of the Friday show, and our earlier in the week show. Wait a minute. What's today?
Today's Tuesday, bro.
What the fuck am I doing? There is no free show.
You're right, but I thought you were being generous because it's the holidays. Like, all bullshit aside, I thought you were being generous because it's the holidays.
Maybe we will do that. Yeah, that's what I meant to do. That's exactly what I'm doing.
I'm helping you save face here.
It has been a horrible 2 weeks for me when it comes to this.
Listen, I understand. But now that we put it out there, go ahead and give it to them. Happy holidays.
Okay, so there you go. That's what it was. In my mind, I said this last week. Because we weren't going to be doing a free show because we didn't have a second show last week that I wanted to give them a free show. So in my mind, I had already run through that process. But I forgot to tell you about
it. Spin it, brother.
That's what we're doing right now.
Spin it, brother. Spin it, brother.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here's what we're going to do. This is going to be the end of the free show. If you're here on the free show, go ahead and subscribe on patreon.com/catchthisfade. We have two tiers for you to subscribe to. For $3, you get all of the audio. For $10 a month, which is basically an extra value meal from McDonald's. And you know you need to cut back on your McDonald's because you're getting old like the rest of us. You need to cut down on the cholesterol. Mm-hmm. So forgo one of those extra value meals at McDonald's. Subscribe to the Catch This Fade Friends of the Show tier. You get all of the video. You get all of the pre-roll. The pre-roll is basically life. It's basically life. It's me and Pat chopping it up before we get on the show. All of the trash talking that we do on Twitter, well, that we used to do on Twitter before Pat finally came to his senses and realized that the Nationals are a better organization than the Braves, all of that stuff kind of happens in the pre-roll.
You're just going to keep lying to the people, huh?
Like I was saying, make sure that you subscribe. Mm-hmm. Patreon.com/catchthisfade. Get the remainder of this show. It will bless you. We are going through some hard times as Cowboys Nation right now, but I promise you we make it better by talking to us. And we're here for you. That's what we're here for. So we'll be right back.
Like Bane. We're here for you.
We're here for you.
The people.
All right, that's it. We'll be right back with the rest of the show.